Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 25th day of May, 2023. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest in the program that came about through a series of acts of God's providence. Well, first of all, I was very grateful and thankful to Scott Brown, the founder of Church and Family Life in Wake Forest, North Carolina, where he also pastors Hope Baptist Church. I was very thankful to him to extend an invitation to me several weeks ago to Man and Exhibitors booth at the most recent Church and Family Life conference in Black Mountain, North Carolina, at the Ridgecrest Conference Center. He agreed to pay my expenses and put me up at the conference center in exchange for advertising. And my first day there in Black Mountain, when I got to the cafeteria at Ridgecrest Conference Center to have a bite to eat for lunch, I discovered that they were closed. The cafeteria, that is, was closed until dinner time. So I called Scott Brown and said, "Hey, do you know anybody that would like to take me to lunch somewhere locally, and I will treat them to lunch?" And Scott said, "I believe I know somebody." And sure enough, I was put into connection with the guest that I have today, Brandon Vanderford. I was so impressed by this young man over lunch, an intellect and knowledge of the scriptures and Christianity and things confronting the church in our day. I was so impressed by his vast knowledge of all these things that are rarely possessed by someone in my experience that is from the Generation Z age group. And so I immediately said, "I've got to get Brandon on the program as soon as we are able to line up an interview." And he thankfully agreed. And Brandon Vanderford is a part-time staff member at Church and Family Life. He's also a member of Hope Baptist Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina, where I already said Scott Brown is the pastor. And we're going to be addressing A Generation Z Christian Addresses the Burning Issues Facing the Youth of Today. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Brandon Vanderford. And are you there, Brandon? And I was hearing Brandon just moments ago.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
My apologies. I had myself on mute initially. You would think that I'd have a better handle on that after the 3 years of COVID with all of the Zoom meetings and web interactions that we had, but mistakes still happen. Well, I appreciate you having me on the show today, Chris. I look forward to our conversation about some of the subjects that we're going to discuss from a Gen Z perspective. It was a pleasure to meet you at the conference 2 or 3 weeks ago, I suppose it's been now. It was a great conference.
Yeah.
You know, the venue, it makes it feel almost as much like a retreat as it is a conference. It's a great time for fellowship and for connecting with friends and people in the ministry. The sermons are always an encouragement, but it was good to have you join us this year.
It was great to be there for the very first time at an event of Church and Family Life. And Scott has already extended the invitation for me to man an exhibitor's booth once again at the next Church and Family Life conference in 2024. I'm looking forward to that as well, God willing. And why don't you tell our listeners something about Church and Family Life?
Absolutely. So Church and Family Life was established in 2001. The basic premise of this ministry is to bring the sufficiency of Scripture to church and family life. The Bible is not only inerrant, it's also sufficient. So it offers practical instruction for the way that men and fathers are to lead their families, for the way that a family is to operate. It offers instruction on discipleship and education, and for the church, how is a church to operate according to the principles of God's word? How does the family relate with the church? We have a world now in which the way that the family operates within the church is very much informed by the way that the family operates within the world. So what does it mean to get back to Scripture's principles for these two institutions? Really, a lot of the problems that we're dealing with in the modern world today stem from problems with the way that families are operating and churches are operating, and getting back to the Word of God will solve a lot of those troubles that we have.
And now tell us something about Hope Baptist Church of Wake Forest, North Carolina, where you are a member.
Absolutely. So I have been at this church since 2018. It's been a good blessing to my life. It's actually the first time in my life that I've been thoroughly engaged in church life. Growing up, my family was not as connected with a local church as we should have been. So seeing elders get up week after week, faithfully proclaiming the Word of God and its relevance to all of life as we go through the Scripture expositionally. We just got out of a three-year sermon series in the book of Revelation. It was a very helpful sermon series. Our pastor helpfully didn't make it a matter of eschatological debate so much as what principles do we discover in the book of Revelation that have an impact for how the church is to operate in a society that is contrary to the principles of Scripture? Basically, how does the church operate in Babylon? And it was a very helpful sermon series. We just started the book of Romans 2 weeks ago. So it's going to be another helpful series. But it's been a blessing to be a part of this church.
And this is a Reformed Baptist church?
That's correct. We hold to the 1689 Second London Baptist Confession.
Great. Well, if anybody wants to know more information about Hope Baptist Church, if you happen to be visiting Wake Forest, North Carolina, or you're passing through there, or you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in or near there, go to hopebaptistchurch.info, hopebaptistchurch.info. And as far as the Church and Family Life Ministry website, a ministry of Hope Baptist Church, go to churchandfamilylife.com, churchandfamilylife.com. And God willing, we'll be repeating that information later on in the broadcast. Well, this topic, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe you may be the youngest guest we've ever had on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Someone may look up the archives and later prove me wrong on that. But first of all, tell us how old you are.
Absolutely. So I'm 23 now. My birthday's in about 3 weeks, though, so almost 24. I'm just at that age where it still makes a difference. I would say I have a much, I have a lot more gray hair on my head by age 24 as opposed to age 23, and I say that tongue in cheek.
And as far as Generation Z, all these labels are somewhat new to me. I know that there's baby boomers and millennials, and I think Generation Z comes after that, but you might correct me on that. But what is the age group that would involve Generation Z?
That's a great question, and that's a question you're going to get different answers from different people. I have not actually found a set definition of which year the generation begins. There's some variety of opinion, but very late 1990s onward is generally recognized as Gen Z. They tend to be some of the younger people in the workforce. A lot of them are graduating from college right now. We're talking early to mid 20s and then kids that go down into school and middle school and so on and so forth. I believe that Gen Z kids are still being born, or either that or we just moved out of that phase. But late 1990s and then about 20 years afterwards.
And the topic at hand, as I've already mentioned, is Generation Z. Christian addresses the burning issues facing the youth of today. Let's start with what is so troubling about church life and perhaps even Christianity in general, that there are quite a large number of children of Christian parents, many of whom may be even raising the children in the home, in the Christian home, in the church, are leaving the Christian church. But actually, before that, I almost forgot to fulfill the tradition of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where we have, whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony. And so before I get into that question I was just about to ask you, let's hear your story. It usually involves the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances were raised up in your life that drew you to the Lord and saved you.
Absolutely, Chris. So I'm actually going to break this down into two parts. I'm going to first explain my salvation testimony and then kind of give a little bit more detail on how I ended up in Reformed theology. So my salvation testimony is fairly simple. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents made the word of God known to us from a young age. We were homeschooled, so lots of discipleship, lots of time in the word. Interestingly enough, it was actually in part at the urging of my kindergarten teacher in school that my mom decided to homeschool. So I grew up in this Christian home, and there wasn't a time at which I rejected the faith. I always believed the Word of God as it was presented to me, and it's been more of a maturing in that understanding and coming to a deeper understanding over time. I don't remember who it was originally that used the analogy, some salvation testimonies are like a sunrise, whereas others are like a bolt of lightning. Mine would certainly be more like the sunrise. As far as my journey to Reformed theology, that's a little bit of a different story. Growing up, actually the first church that I remember, and this will probably come as a surprise to some of the listeners, was Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. I was born in Houston, and we went to Pastor Joel Osteen's church. I could, if we were, if this were a video, I could show you a picture of my baby dedication certificate signed by Pastor Joel Osteen himself. It was actually at a Joyce Meyer conference that Women Outside the Door first handed my mom a CD on Reformed theology. Wow. And it was maybe 5 to 8 years before we actually started making more of that transition. Have you ever had Dr. Joe Moorcraft on your show before?
Of course. He's been on probably... He's probably neck and neck with Phil Johnson of Grace to You Ministries as being the most interviewed guest I've ever had on this program.
Very good. Very good. So he was the one who first introduced me to Reformed theology.
Wow.
I had conversations with him at conferences.
I just had a conversation with him on the phone today.
Wonderful. He's a dear brother. He starts talking about this Calvinism thing, and the first thing I think is, well, he sounds so solid on so many other issues, but he sounds off his rocker on this one. It took me about 2 or 3 years of having those mental blocks of Arminianism torn down before I could come to a Reformed understanding of the doctrines of grace. And then at that point, everything starts to follow. And I'm sure many of your listeners who have come to Reformed theology as adults would be able to give a similar testimony. You come to Calvinism and then you start to see the holes in a lot of dispensational theology, move to a more covenantal framework, and then comes confessionalism. And you start to discover the historic creeds and the wealth of wisdom that's in those ties to historic Christian orthodoxy. So that's been my journey to Reformed theology.
Well, praise God. And going back to my question that I was originally asking you before I remembered that I had not yet covered your testimony, there are droves of children of Christians who are even raising their children properly in Bible-believing homes and in reasonably sound churches and even very solid churches. I mean, I know people who are pretty much in lockstep to a great degree with both Hope Baptist Church of Wake Forest, North Carolina, and my church, where I'm a member, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I know people in that theological orbit who are also having the shock of seeing their children abandon the faith and never to, at least at this point, darken the door of a church building again. Can you give us any insight what you have seen, what you have heard from either young people who they themselves have abandoned the faith, or you're hearing from their parents, or you're hearing it from somewhere? Do you get any idea of what seems to be possibly a trend? Now, I know that if these children never return to the church, that will be because of the core reason that they were never regenerate to begin with. So that's the theological issue, obviously, the theological reason. But what would be the reasons that they give as far as you are aware of?
That's a very good question. And it's at the same time a very simple question, and it's also a very complex question. It's simple insofar as we live in a cultural moment that's not all too dissimilar from many times in history when basically the whole society stands against Christian doctrine. And you know, it was G.K. Chesterton who said, any dead thing can flow with the stream, and it takes a living thing to swim against it. So it takes the effort that a Christian has to put into living according to the principles of the faith in the 21st century is much more intense than what would have been necessary in, say, the 1940s or the 1950s, when the general cultural trends were still in favor of Christianity. We're in a world that's very hostile to Christianity. So a lot of the individuals who may not have been regenerate, but may have went with the flow and remained church members and went to their Southern Baptist church, are exposing themselves as being unsaved because the world has a much stronger pull. My heart goes out to any parent who has struggled with that or has had a child walk away from the faith. I've been blessed to have the vast majority of my friends continue the trajectory that their parents set them on and walk according to the principle of Proverbs. A child trained up in the way that he should go stays on the way. He doesn't depart from it. And that's been my experience largely. I also have had friends walk away. I think a lot of it is a failure of discipleship on the part of the church. Within the church, we have made a conscious effort to be as much like the world as is possible. I remember a Christmas program at a church in my hometown, and this was shortly after the Disney blockbuster Frozen came out. They called it Unfrozen. It was a play on how Jesus melts frozen hearts. These types of things are the game of the evangelical church of the last 40, 50 years, the whole seeker-sensitive movement permeating our culture. And it's destructive because it makes the church look like an alternative to the very real thing that the world offers.
Yeah, you just transported me back in time to the mid-1980s when I was dating my very first Christian girlfriend, and she was originally from Long Island, where I'm from, and she had moved to Lynchburg, Virginia. She went to college at Liberty University, and then after graduating became an elementary school teacher at the church where Jerry Falwell was the pastor, Thomas Road Baptist Church. And when she was visiting Long Island, she invited me to the church where she was saved, and they had a Christmas pageant, and everything in the pageant was just secular music. It was all your good old fashioned favorite, Andy Williams, Christmas music. And it just concluded with a very similar conclusion that the a Broadway Christmas show with the Rockettes had with the manger scene and so on. I had been saved in a Reformed Baptist church, and my stomach was churning the entire time I was in the building. But I don't know if you have experienced this since you've been a member at Hope Baptist Church, and I don't know how much connection you are maintaining with those who are in less theologically sound churches, but I have discovered something that shocked me in a good way. I had discovered, and in fact I first heard it from a Reformed brother years ago, who had a college campus evangelistic ministry, and he said during a conference I was at, he said, it may surprise you to know that there are many, and then he said, I'm not broad brushing, I'm not saying that this is the case with all young people, and he was referring basically to Generation Z, and perhaps even including millennials in there. He said, it may surprise you, but the young people who are starting to develop a craving to return to church, or even perhaps become active in a church for the first time in their lives, they very often want nothing to do with the hip, modern attempts of churches to imitate the world. They view that as a bait and switch attempt. They're clever enough to realize that there is a lure there where you're going to be giving an imitation of pop music and rock music to appeal to the tastes of young people. And you're going to have a man, and I know I'm going to be insulting a lot of people because I've been to churches that are theologically reformed that may resemble this, but you're going to, you know, have the pastor with skinny jeans, and sneakers or sandals or barefoot, wearing a t-shirt. And, they're going to be turned off by that in many cases. They want something that's more traditional. They want something either from what they remember as a child or that something that is in stark contrast from the world they're living in. They're craving, something about the church, that makes them, evident that they are looking for answers outside of the world. So why do they want to go to a church that resembles so closely the world? And this actually happened or came to light several years ago when the oldest daughter of the woman who led me to Christ, she had a young child, and she was living in Florida at the time. And she said, I want my son to be raised in the church. I really want to return to the church because I was raised in the church and I think it's the right thing. And she even admitted she was not yet born again at that time. And she asked me for church recommendations where she was in Orlando. And Orlando is a huge place. I contacted some Reformed ministries that I had respect for. They gave me church recommendations. And this young woman contacted me back, and she said, Chris, I hope you're not offended, but the church that you recommended to me, I don't want to return there because I felt like I was in a concert rather than at a church. Even though the church was theologically reformed, they were basically trying to be seeker-sensitive to a younger generation with the skinny jeans and the rock music. Does that sound at all familiar to your ears, that there are young people who want a little to do with the modern church's attempts at imitating their culture?
No. So I agree with that analysis 100%. I think your friend has a very astute observation.
She is, by the way, born again now. And she moved.
She moved
to Pennsylvania. Was baptized, and is a member of the same congregation where I am now.
Praise God! I do think that is a correct observation, and I've noticed that with many of the friends that I have who do not necessarily attend as conservative of churches. Some of my good friends attend J.D. Greer's church, which is a very mainstream Southern Baptist church. But I can even tell with them that they do have a hunger for more solid things in the Word of God. I think that there's a recognition that we can't outdo the world. So why try? That's the big failing of the evangelical church in America, somehow thinking that they will attract worldly people by doing worldly things better than the world does worldly things. But when we actually return to the solid food of Scripture, I do think that there's a hunger for that. And just as a warning, in all sincerity, I have seen friends that I engage with a lot online, and I'm sure that you've seen similar things in your ministry. Individuals who were serious about Scripture and took the church seriously, moving to less sound, I hesitate to use the term denomination because it's a bigger switch than denomination, but people going to Eastern Orthodoxy and Catholicism, because they hunger for something that a lot of evangelical churches are not offering them. And if you've grown up in a very, you know, what Paul would describe as serving milk instead of the solid food of the Word of God, if you've grown up in that type of evangelical church and you haven't been exposed to the depth of doctrine that's available in Reformed theology, then you're looking at the church and you see these Catholic and Orthodox churches, which appear to be far more historically connected and rooted than what the evangelical churches are offering. So if evangelical churches need to get serious, I think a lot of Gen Z sees the majority of the church in America is fundamentally unserious, and that needs to change because we are losing young people to erroneous versions of Christianity as a result.
And by the way, I want to let our listeners know, if you want to, after this live program is over, if you'd like to listen to an interview I conducted on May 12th with Joshua Schuping on his book, Disillusioned, Why I Left the Eastern Orthodox Priesthood and Church, you can find that recording on the archive at ironradio.com. Just type Schuping in the search engine, S-C-H-O-O-P as in Peter, I-N-G. We're going to our first commercial break right now. If you have a question for my guest today, Brandon Vanderford, please send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, I didn't have time to tell you this before the show, Brandon, but during the commercial breaks, you are not going to hear the commercials because you're on Microsoft Teams. Everybody else hears the commercials. You don't. You only hear my voice during this broadcast. So don't panic that you've been kicked off the air when you hear dead silence for about 10 minutes. And if you could also please keep yourself on mute during the commercial breaks. Don't go away, folks. We're going to be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. And if you just tuned in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Brandon Vanderford, a staff member at Church and Family Life in Wake Forest, North Carolina. We are addressing a Generation Z Christian addresses the burning issues facing the youth today. We have an anonymous listener who says, I'm having a lot of problems dealing with my own adult children who have a very soft view and acceptance of homosexuality. Not that they themselves are involved in that practice, but they think that Christians are being bigoted and hateful and nasty simply for opposing this behavior. I was wondering what it is about this generation that seems to be so willing to accept that kind of behavior, where most generations in the past understood naturally that this was something strange, bizarre, and something to be avoided. Yeah, I could remember when I was a teenager, first of all, or even a younger child, elementary school, going into high school, I didn't even meet the first openly, admittedly homosexual person until I was in college. So growing up in the neighborhood, if there were homosexual kids or the kids that had that propensity, it was not made known. And in fact, in the entirety of the high school, there was never a kid that I was aware of that openly described themselves that way. And of course, I'm not commending the cruelty, the verbal cruelty that even was hurled against effeminate young men or effeminate boys and masculine girls and young women. I'm not saying that that's justifiable, but there was at least a recognition that this was a strange thing. So as our listener has asked, what do you think it is about the current youth that chastise their parents and grandparents and Christians for having an opposition to that? And I don't know why you're making a lot of noise there, Brandon, but can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Did you hear the question?
I did hear the question, and it's a very good question. I believe that the answer is that simply a logical progression. It was inevitable. And I think that people have recognized that this was going to be an inevitability for a long time. Plenty of people have predicted this, and that doesn't change the fact that this is very much a problem for the church, and it's a problem that we're going to be dealing with more and more as more churches decide to compromise on this issue. I think it was Francis Schaeffer who said that the church is always about 7 years behind the world. Let's see, Obergefell was 2015. That would be 2022. The church starts to adopt some of these things, or at least stops condemning them. I hope that that doesn't become more widespread, but we've seen the church compromise with sexual sin before. Usually that compromise occurs because of silence. We stop actually addressing the sin as a sin. An example of that would be cohabilitation. It's a real problem within the young people of a lot of mainstream churches living together before marriage, but it's not addressed from the pulpit because it's so mainstream, because it's so widely accepted. You're going to isolate a lot of people by preaching against that sin. And I think that that's working its way in the direction of homosexuality now. I don't think many churches are going to officially say that it's not a sin, but what churches will do is they'll stop preaching against it, unfortunately. I think we've seen signs of that with, J.D. Greer, who said, I believe it was J.D. Greer, this may be, but don't hold me to it. He said, homosexuality doesn't send you to hell for the same reason heterosexuality doesn't send you to heaven. Well, there's more to it than that. That's just intentionally said to muddy the waters, to make the sin sound less reprehensible than it is. But I think a lot of people were prophets on this issue. They knew the church was willing to compromise here because it's compromised on sexual sins in the past. What would you say about that, Chris?
Well, it actually just reminded me of a sermon. I don't know if you've heard it or seen it. Vody Balcom, one of my favorite modern-day preachers.
Absolutely.
Vody opened up a sermon by doing something tongue-in-cheek. He said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the transcript of his sermon, but he said something like, before I give my message today, I just want you to know that I love wife beaters, and some of my best friends are wife beaters, and I think that there's been an unfortunate cruelty in the church toward wife beaters. Especially in generations past, and I think that we should stop our hate speech against wife beaters. And he was basically saying what is almost a replica of what many, if not most, evangelicals will say before a sermon against homosexuality. They have to do damage control, and they have to, in essence, apologize for what they're about to preach and teach on, even if it's just a brief recognition that homosexuality is a sin. They have to go out of their way to tell everybody how much they love homosexuals and how many of their friends are. The thing is that this is, we're not talking about liberal churches, of course, because they would never recognize that there's anything wrong with homosexuality at all. In fact, they would treat it as if it is a superior way of being and something we should all celebrate and rejoice about. But there is a fear, it seems, in even amongst conservative evangelical Protestants over the reaction to a criticism of this. But one thing that makes this whole issue about the youth accepting and not only accepting it, but tolerating it. I mean, I'm sorry, not only accepting and tolerating, but celebrating it as something wonderful, is that there is something about this generation that seems to be very proud of believing what the government tells you. And that's something very foreign to my memory growing up. I don't remember kids and teenagers especially, and people in their early 20s saying, man, I just soak up every word that the government tells us because, you know, the government's right about everything and we should be really listening to and obeying our government. And you almost long for a day of rebellion again because you're wondering why on earth are these, how is this young generation in lockstep with the government? I live in the same neighborhood. It's a 1 minute walk, to some of the campus because it's a multi-campus college. But Dickinson College, which is a notoriously liberal arts college. And especially during the height of the COVID hysteria, you would see crowds of young, healthy, athletic students either walking together somewhere or running, doing some jogging. They're all wearing masks on the beautiful spring day. And even if they're alone, they're wearing masks on a beautiful spring day. And I'm like, how on earth?
Right.
What happened to the rebellious attitude that teenagers instinctively had to authority? Now they're sucking it all up and proud to do it. You got any ideas on
that? Well, see, I'm afraid that that rebellious instinct is still being exercised, but to a certain extent, it's being exercised in the wrong place. It's being exercised against those members of society that are not actually authorities in the within the zeitgeist, within the context of the zeitgeist. So for an example, the anonymous listener who asked about her children who were adopting the popular cultural sexual ethic, I would be willing to bet that these kids see themselves as taking a step against authority insofar as they are contradicting what their parents believe on this issue. They believe that they're being bold. They may believe that they're being brave. They're being neither of those things. They're actually just going along with the entire stream of what culture tells them to do. And I've seen this with parents or with children who have left the faith. I haven't known many of them, but they act like they're taking this brave step. So there is that rebellious attitude, but it's not being exercised against the real authorities. It's the same way that a lot of mainstream pastors like to, bash lower class white people specifically. You know, the traditional, the Southerner, who's the only class of individual in America that's seen fit to be the butt of jokes and so on and so forth. There's now a prevailing and dominant attitude in society that somehow punching down is punching against authority, or at least it's treated as such. That's why we have these celebrations for people who come out of the closet as if they were taking a stand against society, when in reality they're going completely along with it. So they basically changed the moral paradigm. They're acting as if somehow it's an act of rebellion to go along with exactly what the government is telling you to do. What you're saying about the government being such an impact in the way that young people in particular are thinking, still wearing masks 3 years later after COVID, perfectly healthy. I think that's actually been the scenario. I think that's the way humans work. I think humans, 90% of us are going to go along with the flow, whatever that flow might be. History has always been made by minorities. And I think that's what my generation needs to realize. I think my generation needs to have hope. I see a lot of Gen Zers who are depressed, who are concerned with the direction that the world is going, and they've lost hope. And I think they need to be given that hope. We may not be the moral majority anymore, but history is always changed by dedicated minorities. And we can be the Patricks and the Bonifaces of this generation. Adopt the word of Scripture.
Yeah, we just have to go to our midway break right now. And please be patient with us, folks. The midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us to have a longer break for them in the middle of the show because they have to obey the FCC in airing public service announcements and other things that localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please send in your questions to Brandon Vanderford at chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Holland 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, to make all your first stops for your gift-giving needs to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. They bring back into print and publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that website frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Brandon Vandeford, I have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. Or if you prefer snail mail, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, whether it's your church, whether it's your parachurch ministry, or if it's just an event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and we'll try to get that launched for you as quickly as possible. Also, please remember, I never want anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience to cut into your giving that you provide for your own local church every Lord's Day in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't give your own church where you're a member less money in order to bless us financially. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is clear that we are to use our finances to support our churches and our families, and supporting this radio show is not a command of God. But if you love this show, and by the way, Brandon, you're making a lot of noise there, if you could mute yourself. If you love this show and you want and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. If you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family. You have extra money collecting interest in the bank. You have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. Please share some of that money with us if you want us to survive. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where in the world you live, I can help you find a church like Hope Baptist Church of Wake Forest, North Carolina. And I have helped many people all over the world in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience find a church, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you, too. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line if you are indeed in that situation. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Brandon Vandeford on our topic, A Generation Z Christian Addresses the Burning Issues Facing the Youth of Today. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, when you are evangelizing with friends of your own age, what is the most common complaints about Christianity you hear from the youth that are lost?
I believe it's the exclusivity of Christ. We live in an age where the utmost virtue is tolerance and inclusivity. And people don't like the idea of a religion that says that there's only one way. Why shouldn't Hindus or Muslims who genuinely believe what they do be acceptable in God's eyes? Now, we know what the Bible teaches, but that's a hard truth for a lot of young people to accept.
And we have a very similar question from, let's see, Thomas in West Islip, New York. Thomas says, do you think it would be wise for us to, at least on a cursory level, bone up on the latest in scientific evidence that supports our Christian views? Because I continually hear over and over again from young people that they reject the evangelical faith because it is anti-science. And that's something that listener said I've experienced when speaking to younger people, especially, not necessarily only younger people, but I do hear that a lot from younger people. They are under the delusion, the falsehood, that true science supports their leftist ideas. But it is far from the truth. And we can't all be scientific experts, though, and we have to keep the gospel the main thing. But how do you mix that into the conversation, if at all?
That's a tremendous question. I believe that that type of apologetic, how does science fit with what the Bible teaches us? Of course, elevating the Bible above the position of science. The Bible informs the way that we interpret science, not the other way around. I do believe that that's more helpful in discipleship than evangelism. In my experience, when I've gone street preaching and worked with the men in my church in ministry, the issues that people bring up are not related to the rock layers or the dinosaurs or so on and so forth. These are all great things to teach your kids, I believe, and I believe to teach your family. Teach Christians. Christians need apologetics so they can understand how that their faith is grounded in reality, that it's not blind faith, that we actually have very good reasons for believing what we do. However, I believe that when you're speaking with a rank unbeliever, the issues tend to be more moral in nature. There tend to be more moral questions, an unwillingness to submit to the law that the Bible presents, for one thing, or to the authority of Jesus as Lord. I believe it's more of a spiritual problem when you're dealing with actual unbelievers. I think the apologetics are a better internal tool of the church. That's been my experience. I'm sure others have had varying experiences, though.
I could be wrong, but I'm assuming you're a presuppositionalist. And one of the things that I have found to be greatly beneficial about presuppositionalism, and of course, there may be evidentialists and those who are involved in classic apologetics who will do what I am recommending anyway, but we have to be careful not to let lost people dominate our conversation. Isn't that right? That lost people, in order to take the spotlight off of their own soul, off of their own sin, off of their own eternal destiny, they like to bring up rabbit trail issues one after another to keep you running around back and forth chasing squirrels and keeping yourself and your conversation off of what they need to hear the most, which is the gospel and their need to repent and follow Christ. Isn't that one of the best things we can do? Like for instance, somebody brings up a scientific issue, unless we have 5 hours where we're sitting around somewhere with somebody, isn't it best to say something like, you know, I could give you resources on that later. I know brilliant scientists like Jason Lyle, who is a young earth creationist, and he's got some fascinating videos and things like that. But let's get back to the issue at hand. And you get right back to what they need to hear the most, which is how they are to be made right with God. Am I making sense here?
Yes, I believe that nails it. That's a very good way of putting it. One of the most prescient questions I've ever seen in Ray Comfort's interviews, and he has excellent interviews online. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with his content.
Yeah, he was just on the show recently, actually.
Very good. Very good. I believe that one of the best questions he ever asked an individual who was arguing with him on these scientific fronts is he stopped and he asked the question, is it possible that you reject Christianity because Jesus would tell you how to live your life and you don't want to live your life in the way that Jesus would tell you to? And she said, you know, that's very possible. That was an honest question, and that was an honest response. I do believe that that's what it boils down to 9 times in 10. I believe that the scientific questions are generally rationale for making a decision based on moral problems with the teachings of Christianity. It's the rationale. You want to – the reason is not always the reason. I don't think that many people leave the church because of rock layers. I think it's good that the church address those types of questions, but it boils down to people don't want God to rule their life. So I think that question that you asked, I believe that nails the issue.
We have another question that might have different answers as our questioner has targeted them to young people, but these could be this could be a question asked about anybody in general, really. But the question is from BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. How, in your opinion, has the internet and social media blessed young people, and how has it cursed them?
You could have a whole interview, and I'm sure you've had many interviews on just that topic. How has social media impacted the world for good and for ill? I believe that social media and the internet has great potential, but I do believe that the harm that's done to society exceeds the good. The benefit is you have a radio program every single day where you can talk to people in every nation on this planet. People can tune in through the internet. It's given us a greater reach than mankind has ever had. You can communicate a message across the globe. That's done wonders for evangelism. I have a good friend also attends this church. He actually might be an interesting interview sometime. He's developing an audio app with audiobooks, evangelistic and doctrinal audiobooks in Turkish, in Russian. He's currently working on Arabic. I believe that they've launched Chinese. They're working on Farsi. It's in Iran. So there is a lot of potential within technology. Overall, I don't think it's been good for the young people because I don't believe that people have made use of that potential in a positive way for the most part. I think that the connectedness has, by some strange paradox, brought about a greater isolation than most humans have ever experienced. It's actually cut them off from their closest relationships, a lot of families, which is where the individual finds a core piece of their identity, are divided by influencers on TikTok and Instagram that no real relationship exists with. And that's a pervasive problem. I believe that's isolated us from our place. I believe that humans are to exist within the context that they've that God's placed them largely. When the telegraph from Maine to Texas was first completed, one prominent newspaper declared, "The telegraph has been completed. Now Maine will be able to say whatever it will to Texas." But it remains to be determined whether Maine has something to say to Texas. So the globalization hasn't been healthy for relationships.
Yeah, and there has always been the problem, which reveals the truth of the doctrine of total depravity.
That's right.
That kids are cruel. And I'm not saying adults are necessarily any less cruel, but kids don't have a filter, typically, that prevents them from saying the cruelest things. And when you get involved in social media, I know that there have always been children and young adults who have committed suicide for the sheer merely because of the mockery they received from those in their neighborhoods and schools. But now you have the potential of tens of thousands of people hearing and seeing things about the secret life of some tormented kid. They have a video of the kid doing something that they didn't know they were being filmed or whatever the case is, or just mocking the kid about their weight or appearance or personality. And it's just magnified so many times over. That's obviously one of the serious drawbacks and the failures of being involved heavily in social media. But obviously, there's always the plus side that I know a lot of young people who have become fascinated by the Bible because they have discovered really excellent and fascinating people on the internet, like James White and Vody Balcom, and they become riveted to these debates and sermons and messages that they never would have otherwise perhaps discovered. So it's always that balance, isn't it?
Amen to that. And if I could add at this time, you know, I think it's important for young people to be connected with where God's placed them. So I think that what that means practically is, as you just said, the abundance of biblical resources that are available at the fingertips of a young person. It's amazing. People in past ages could have only dreamed of it. But when it comes to your favorite pastor, if somebody asks you that question, who's your favorite pastor? Wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to say that it's the pastor of your own local small town church?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That place where God's placed you. It's great to have men like John MacArthur, and R.C. Sproul was a tremendous blessing during his life. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see people tied to their local congregations and their hometowns. Be a influence there for the gospel. Pray for nations and tribes overseas, but also pray for local people, because where God's placed you is where he intends most of your ministry to happen.
Amen. And that's why I, in addition to world-renowned theologians, scholars, authors, conference speakers, in addition to having men like that and women like that on my show. I have made it a vested effort to have local pastors on as much as I can. That one of the reasons I have my biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons is to get to know as many local pastors as I can, to invite some of them on the program when they're doing something that I believe will be beneficial to our audience. And that cannot be understated. In fact, something that I remember very vividly, that's probably the only thing I can really remember that was powerfully true, from a Pentecostal church I began attending in my journey as an unbeliever. I remember this Pentecostal pastor who used to do a lot of antics and behave in a very crazed fashion, jumping up and down on pews and screaming at the top of his lungs. But I remember him rebuking the congregation, and he said, I know that some of you are not even giving to this local church, because you're sending your money to Jimmy Swaggart. You're sending your money to Jim Baker. You're sending your money to all these televangelists. Are they going to be at your mama's bedside when she's in the hospital dying of cancer? Are they going to be with you at the graveside when someone precious to you dies? Are they going to be with you when you are facing death? Are they going to be sitting there holding your hand and praying with you? No, they're not. And that really stuck with me, in spite of everything else that was crazy that the man said and did. That is still etched in my mind, and I think that those are very sound words. And are you still there, Brandon?
Yes. No, I apologize for the. No, I'm here. I had myself on mute while you're talking. I think that is important to keep in mind as we talk about giving and as we talk about the treasures that we're to lay up in heaven. Jesus speaks of giving a cup of cold water to the least of these. I think that monetary giving is a very positive good. That's how great ministries like Church and Family Life and your show stay on the air and keep putting out good content for the church. But also, it's good to keep in mind that when we're told to be generous and so on and so forth, I think that the Lord Jesus was talking less about sending money for relief in Ukraine and more about being a friend to the elderly in your community. It needs to be a personal giving. It needs to be a sense in which a person is giving of themselves. So I like the point that Pentecostal pastor made, despite all of the surrounding craziness that you may have experienced that day.
And we have an anonymous listener who says, is there anything about the Reformed Church in general, and I realize there are differences amongst Reformed denominations and even congregations within the same denomination, but is there anything about the Reformed Church in general that is off-putting to unbelievers that are of your age group for valid reasons?
Let me think about that for just a moment, because I believe that that's a very good question. I think that one of the issues that we may have within Reformed circles is we tend to be very cliquish. Mm-hmm. We kind of stay within our own circles. We have our own group of friends. As I said earlier, you have a hunger for depth of doctrine in the modern evangelical church. And I think that some young people are going the wrong places to find it. But if we can be more intentional about connecting with those that maybe don't attend a doctrinally sound church, but really are on fire with a love for God, then we can make a big impact. I think it's basically the idea of widening the fold. Get outside of our immediate circles. Make friends with the people in your neighborhood, with the people at your work. Maybe lead Bible studies in the office. And that's a good way to introduce maybe some of your coworkers who would call themselves Christians, but are completely lost when it comes to doctrine and theology. It's a good way to lead them in the right direction and see what God does with that over time.
Amen. And we have Robert from Orange County, New York. And Robert says, you're a very impressive young man. Do you have any interest in entering into the pastoral ministry? You know, I asked Brandon that same exact thing during lunch in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Do you have any answer to that?
That's the answer that I would give to that is it's something that I'm very open to. And what I told you, Chris, when we were discussing this in person is I'm in a spot where I do have a desire to make the word of God known to people, to, you know, evangelize. I joined our church street preaching and so on and so forth. And occasionally my pastor will give me the opportunity to bring a 15-minute message to the congregation. And I am blessed to have that that opportunity. I count it a privilege. I do have questions when it comes to the matter of the call to the ministry. And we discussed this, Chris. Martin Lloyd-Jones and guys like him put a very sound emphasis on you enter into the ministry when you know that your soul cannot do anything else. And that might be where God works on me over time. That may be something that I feel at age 35 that I don't feel at the same way at age 23. But right now, that's not where I'm at. I'm keeping my options open. I'm very willing to serve in ministry if that's what God calls me to long term. But I do think that Vodi Bakum addressed this issue. He said, not everyone who is passionate about the word of God has to go into ministry. It's good to have lay people and people in business and people that do other services within the community that are also passionate about the word of God. So that might be where God has me for my life. We'll see. I think that will be something that's revealed in time.
We have an anonymous listener, and I don't know if it is a young lady or a mother of a young lady. This anonymous listener says, is Brandon married, and does he have any intention to be married?
Well, I am not at this time, and I very much do have an intention to be married. Made efforts in that direction. Nothing's quite worked out yet, but we'll see what future the Lord has for me. We might have a good belief in the doctrine of providence, and God will bring along the right person when it's time, and I'll be ready.
We have another anonymous listener who said, in response to a criticism of the Reformed faith at large when it comes to young people, I have my own experience with Reformed churches, and I am personally Reformed myself, is that many people in the Reformed faith, tragically, are so much focused on reading and learning and having theological discussions and focusing all their time and effort into the whole concept of Bible study that many of them do not want to share their time with actually rolling up their sleeves and helping somebody in need. And sometimes young people are in great need of somebody actually physically being there to help them. And the Reformed folks, more than Pentecostal and others, in my experience, seem to always look for someone else that can do the job. And I think that's a valid point. It may be a bit broad brushing, but what do you have to say about that?
I think you're right. I think that's a valid point. I believe that we need to be more welcoming to Christians that are learning that may not be in the exact same position that we are doctrinally. One of the things that I do, and this may be just because I'm 23 and still a little bit immature, but when I'm going to a new Reformed church, I'll carry around my good John MacArthur study Bible. I kind of use it as a test to a certain extent. Once I walked into a Reformed church, and that was actually the first comment that I had. Why do you have that Bible? Don't you know he's a dispensationalist? No, John MacArthur is a dear brother in the faith. So actually, that's where we might have a little bit too much starch in our collars, and we need to be a little bit more you don't want to use the term seeker sensitive. That has too much baggage. But we actually do need to be welcoming to people who may not be in the same place that we are yet. Remember, again, I came from a background where the first church I remember is Joel Osteen's church. And there were people kind enough to walk alongside with me as I was making this doctrinal journey and coming to a greater depth. That's my perspective.
Yeah. There is definitely truth in the listener's observations. It's true that if you go into the inner cities, most of the time, not all, most of the time, if you're looking at people evangelizing drug addicts and prostitutes and who are feeding them physical food and clothing them and also evangelizing them, they're typically not Reformed people. And that just happens to be the case. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question and you want to get in line to have your question asked and answered, send your email as quickly as possible to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. We'll be right back.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, We hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. 855-353-3355 or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. Anybody in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, whether it's something that they already have in stock valued at $100 or more, or if you're having a custom-designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo into a piece of jewelry, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I've seen firsthand the mastery that they have over custom-designing jewelry. I am not exaggerating or using hyperbole. They are absolute masters at this art. So if you have any intention of buying jewelry or having something custom designed, please, as soon as possible, go to royaldiadem.com, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's royaldiadem.com. Also, I want to remind you that you've been hearing ads on this show for the Historical Bible Society, founded by my dear longtime friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. Don't forget that Dan is also a personal injury attorney and a medical malpractice attorney. If you or anybody that you know and love anywhere in the United States, all 50 states, has experienced a serious injury or is involved in a medical malpractice case, please call Dan at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please write that down, because even if you don't need it now, there may be a time when you do need that number. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT and 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. We're now back with our guest today, Brandon Vandeford, and we have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, what are three books that you would most recommend when evangelizing a young person to give that young person to read on his own?
That's a very good question. The three books that I would give to a young person when evangelizing that young person. My top recommendation would be read books that will help you in giving you the confidence to evangelize. These might be conversations that you're having, but initially, if you have the opportunity to read a book with a young person, start with the Bible. Maybe start in the book of John and read through that and discuss that. There are so many great books out there, but you're asking that person to make a strong commitment up front by asking them to read three books. And there are lots of good books out there. But unless this person is very, very interested, that might be difficult for them to follow, for you to get the follow through there. I would say if you have the opportunity, start reading through them, their Bible with them. And I think that will have abundant fruit. Chris, are there books that you would suggest in this type of scenario?
Yes. I Will Never Become a Christian, Seven Reasons Challenged by Peter Jeffrey, who was a dear friend of mine, a Reformed Baptist pastor in Wales who is now in heaven. I Will Never Become a Christian, Seven Reasons Challenged. And Peter Jeffrey also wrote a book called Bite Size Theology. Bite Size is one word, Bite Size Theology. And the subtitle is An ABC of the Christian Faith. Those are the two that immediately popped into my head, because Peter Jeffrey always sought to, even though he was a brilliant man of God, always sought to break down his gospel presentations so that anyone could understand what he was talking about. And a dear, compassionate, loving brother. We have time for one more question that involves a brief answer. Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, says, I understand that church and family life is a ministry that is based in part on family integrated worship. And I was wondering, how is that of benefit when you are talking to youth about the faith and inviting them to your congregation?
That's a great question. Because in all sincerity, that's one of the more difficult parts about the model. You have people who come visit your congregation and their kids are not used to staying through a service. They can get used to it. Kids within probably 4 to 8 weeks learn to settle down during the service, and we don't have a lot of issues. But initially, maybe you can offer, if you're good friends, offer child support, offer to stand outside the doors with their kids outside the sanctuary if the kids are having a hard time sitting still. That's a very good question. That would be a sound approach. Give them the opportunity to sit inside while their kids are still learning in this new environment. But ultimately, it's wonderful when the family worships together and when the family is discipled together in the Word of God by the pastor of that congregation.
And sometimes, and this isn't always the case, sometimes youth groups become a counterculture within a church. And you have youth group leaders who are even teaching something entirely different than the pastors. Obviously, that's not typically going to happen in a Reformed church. But anyway, I've seen it happen. Although I can also say that I know wonderful men of God who are superb pastors today that began their work in ministry as youth pastors. So whatever side of the equation you stand on, we can't negate the fact that there have been great people of God used who were not necessarily a part of the family segregated model.
Very true.
We have run out of time, and I want to make sure I give the contact information you need for two ministries. One is Church and Family Life, where our guest is a part-time staff member. ChurchandFamilyLife.com, ChurchandFamilyLife.com, and Hope Baptist Church of Wake Forest, North Carolina, HopeBaptistChurch.info, HopeBaptistChurch.info. Thank you so much, Brandon, for being such an excellent guest. I look forward to your return to the show. Thank you, everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.